Change Radio Program. I'm your host here on October 3rd, 2013, coming to you live as I do every Thursday night at 8 p.m. New York time and 5 p.m. Pacific. Tonight, on The Cycles of Change, we're going to do some readings from the theory of colorhythms, the cycles of change. Colorhythms are the changes of energy through cyclical time. The readings that will be tonight are from the section on sacred geometry. You can find this by going to colorhythms.org. That's K-A-L-A rhythms.org. And on the main horizontal navigation bar, there is a link for theory. This is the theoretical aspect of the abstract energies underlying the rhythmic forces that move the events around us. So tonight, a look at sacred geometry in relation to cycles. Here we take a look at time, space, and matter to build on some old ideas and introduce new theories. Here lie theories that spin off from colorhythms, but they are separate ideas that are not intended to support the theory of colorhythms. They are intended as a trek into imagination. To begin, dynamics. In a sacred geometry overview, sacred geometry is the measure of shapes set apart as transcending reflections of the Creator. We see source through reflections because source came before the beginning. In simple forms, however, lie sacred truths to all complexity. Nature is replete with transcending patterns that give us clues to what is all around. Golden mean spirals and pine cones, sunflowers, and animal shells encode the same mathematical pattern by which plants replicate their leaf growth. That's the Fibonacci sequence. The ratio found in this sequence is the rate by which our bones increase in length when progressing from smaller to larger joints in our hands, feet, and legs. That's the phi ratio. The transcending phi ratio is also in the golden mean rectangle, which has been the basis for significant architecture through the ages, like the Parthenon. Some of the symbols and math in this study are derived from sacred geometry and ancient religious symbols. To learn more about sacred geometry, consult your bookstore or refer to the web. Let us look next at the qualities of yin and yang. A three-dimensional aspect of yin and yang comes in the motion. From the one-dimensional stratum comes the unmanifest, avakya in Sanskrit, and the manifest nature, prakriti. Something is or it is not. That which is manifest must cross first the first dimension. From the two-dimensional stratum comes bipolar duality, such as on and off, left and right, in and out, and more. Duality of opposites is a basic principle of yin and yang. Yin and yang bring motion between the two, and the motion come over time equals rhythm. Rhythms run in triads in three-dimensional existence. We see this in parts of the self that mirror creation. Yin and yang are polar opposites between dark and light, negative and positive, soft and hard, cold and hot, magnetic and electrical, female and male, and more. Stress between these two elements creates balance in the form of rhythm. Rhythm itself also contains yin and yang, in that it is high and low. When the cycle is low, it is in yin. When the cycle is in high, it is in yang. A cycle at the midpoint is halfway between yin and yang. In a two-dimensional world, elements of yin and yang are mutually exclusive and unable to pass each other. The closer a rhythm is to one, the further it is from the other. In a three-dimensional world, however, this need not be so. Rather than just being opposing ends of a spectrum, yin can be a rhythmic force in itself, and yang can be a rhythmic force in itself. The amount of one need not alter the amount of the other. A cycle of yin can bring more and less yin in rhythm, while a cycle of yang can independently bring more or less yang in rhythm. They can move separately. Both cycles can be high, or both can be low, or one can be high while the other is low, or various states in between. Prevalence of one need not depend on the absence of the other. A cycle of yin has lows and highs within it. A cycle of yang has lows and highs within it. Lows and highs themselves are a form of yin and yang. As the cycle of yin moves between low and high, it is moving between the yin and yang within itself. The same structure is true for the cycle of yang. When a cycle of yin is low, it is in the yin of a cycle. This decreases the amount of yin energy. When the cycle of yin is high, it is in the yang of its cycle. This increases the amount of yin. As the cycle of yang is low, it is in the yin of its cycle, and the amount of yang is decreased. As the cycle of yang is high, the yang of the cycle and the amount of yang is increased. This is the yin and yang within yin and yang. Each is in the other, and both are in each. That is the three-dimensional element of yin and yang. Yin and yang go beyond the motion between opposites. They are separate forces within the cosmic dance. Yin, yang, and yang may be universal forces of a triad. Yin is dark, receptive, and feminine energy of the universe. Yang is bright, assertive, and masculine energy. Forces move between these polarities. Movement brings different levels of light and dark, positive and negative, soft and hard, magnetic and electrical, male and female, and more. We have learned this of duality. As we move beyond two-dimensional analysis that lets us see duality, we come to triadic thinking that lets us see Trinity. We then find another element amid the interplay. It may be what the ancient mystics saw in Cheng Yang. Cheng Yang is the heart of Confucianism, studied also by Taoists and Buddhists. Authorship is attributed to Su Zhu, a grandson of Confucius, who lived in the 5th and 6th century BC. Pardon me if the pronunciation of his name is not correct. It is one of the four Confucian texts known as the Su Shu, four books published by the philosopher Chu Zi in 1190. Chinese for center and unchangeable, Cheng Yang is often called the doctrine of the steadfast mean. In this philosophy, the superior man has objective moderation towards all things. Cheng is equated with Pu Buen, not off-center, and inclining towards neither right nor left. Yang is equated with Pu Yi, not unstable, and steadfast in principle. As stated in the beginning of the Doctrine of the Steadfast Mean, Cheng Yang, being without inclination to either side is called Cheng. Admitting of no change is called Yang. By Cheng is denoted the correct course to be pursued by all under heaven. By Yang is denoted the fixed principle regulating all under heaven. This work contains law of the mind. Cheng can be seen as the mean average between yin and yang. Between dark and light is twilight. Between negative and positive is neutral. Between soft and hard is medium. Between cold and hot is tepid. Between female and male is androgyny and more. Cheng is being without inclination to either side. If both sides are in motion, however, then that which is neither is also in motion. Let me repeat that. Cheng is being without inclination to either side. If both sides are in motion, however, then that which is neither is also in motion. All things are relative. Even balance is in rhythm. Yang lies between the balance between polarities. It is a transparent third that is neither and not in between. As the fixed principle regulating all under heaven, it contains an abstract reality that extends beyond experience. From innate ability, we experience this as, and with, intelligence. Intelligence is without gender, subjectivity, or polarity. It is not yin, and it is not yang. We can perhaps see this as the neutral intellectual counterpart to physical and emotional elements. Together, they form the body, heart, and mind of existence. Yang, yin, and yang are underlying universal principles that form a triad of their own. They manifest as physical, emotional, and intellectual energies, respectively, which formed the triad of Kala rhythms in our nation. Thus, the triumvirate braid of rhythms manifests as the nation locates a living system. A nation functions as a fractal entity of the cosmic person, Purusha. Rhythms run through the nation as manifest nature, Prakriti, and rhythms come in from the unmanifest, Avakya, which precedes the elements of yin, yang, and yang. Yin and yang have been seen in rhythm. Yang, the fixed principle, also interacts with rhythm. While it might seem paradoxical for that which is fixed to be found in rhythm, relativity comes again. We who observe the experience and experience the observations are in rhythm. This is like viewing a distant star from Earth. For analogy, a star can represent a fixed point. From the viewpoint of an observer on Earth, the star appears to have a revolving tendency around the Earth. That is because the internal rhythms of the Earth cause the Earth to spin on its axis. We see the star pass from horizon to horizon. We observe the star with rhythm, not because of the revolving tendency of the star, but because of the revolving tendency in our living system. The same holds true when experiencing the Absolute. Our receptivity and perception of the Absolute changes with our internal rhythms. Yang is rhythmic to us. The philosophy of comedian George Carlin may have said it best when describing perception. He said, "Some may see the glass as half empty. Others may say the glass is half full. I say the glass is too big." He saw the transparent yet ever-present third beyond a bipolar subset. The mind is like an eye that can see every part of the body except itself. We do not always see our living system because we are inside of it. It's like someone once said, "Whoever discovered water certainly wasn't a fish." The more inward we go with self-realization, however, the further we go beyond ourselves. Yin, yang, and yang are a triumphant braid of creation. Yin is emotional, yang is physical, and yang is intellectual. We exist and have made it through the first dimension. We have bipolar duality in the form of symmetrical bodies, and we live as male and female because we have made it through the second dimension. We manifest a triad with a mind, heart, and body because we live in a third dimension. What is next? Let us look at creation mythology. Belief systems around the world use metaphor to describe existence. We must use metaphor. That is the only way. Because metaphor is the way we explain the inexplicable to ourselves. Theologian Joseph Campbell pointed out that mythologies all over the world and across time have told the same story about a hero with a thousand faces. Indian philosophy is cited here as an example of how energies have been seen because it is rich in metaphor and resembles so many beliefs. We give many names to a rose. Shiva is both a progenitor and a destroyer. His symbol as progenitor is the linga, the organ of procreation. Other religions have replaced the symbol of the progenitor with the notion of God the Father. As destroyer, science knows him as entropy, inertia, and centrifugal force. He may be the force behind the expanding universe that theoretically bursts from the Big Bang of creation. Ancient mystics knew this energy as tamas, the force of dispersion. Vishnu is the protector and preserver of the universe. As protector, he descends to earth as a divine incarnation, or avatar. He is like the sun in this matter. Stories of one of Vishnu's great incarnations, Krishna, are similar to the stories of Buddha and the Christ. As preserver, science knows him as gravity, electromagnetism, and centripetal force. Ancient mystics knew this energy as sattva, the force of cohesion. Brahma is the immense being and creator of relative time, space, and action. He allows the space-time continuum to bring equilibrium between opposites, thus between the dispersion of Shiva, Tamas, and the concentration of Vishnu, Sattva, lies a third aspect, which is the movement between the two. In this manner, he is like the Holy Ghost that links Father and Son. Science knows him as rotation, revolution, and oscillation. Ancient mystics knew this energy as Rajas, the revolving tendency. This triad of deities, Shiva, Vishnu, and Brahma, is the Trimurti of Indian philosophy. They contain a triad of energies, tamas, sattva, and rajas, and they are known for the qualities or the gunas. With the dispersion of tamas, the cohesion of sattva, and revolving tendency of rajas, the gunas suggest that the Big Bang of creation may have not been the first. If we ask, what was there before there was nothing? The answer may be all of this. An eclectic merger of metaphors might yield a progression. Brahma sits on a lotus that grows out of the navel of Vishnu. Brahma opens his eyes and creates a universe. Shiva, as Bhairava, bursts forth and progenerates as the universe expands. Vishnu pervades throughout creation and holds it together. Brahma blinks his eyes and Shiva destroys the universe. The memory of Vishnu preserves part of the previous universe as he rests upon Naga, the serpent who sleeps on the primordial waters. Brahma opens his eyes again and creates another universe, and the cycle continues. Each time life springs forth from the golden embryo of creation, as in the notion embraced in myths around the world, the great cycle recapitulates on smaller scales in all forms of life. That is where the deities come in. Prajapati, the lord of progeny, recapitulates the cycle by dividing into manifestations of Brahma. Prajapati is also a main aspect of Shiva and one of the names for Vishnu. He is a trimurtic deity. Manifestations from Prajapati rule over creation and reproduce universal rhythms. Prajapati is also known as Pashupati and is a driver or the herdsman in Shaivite philosophy who reproduces a triad. Everything has a soul, which is a life force, body, which is substance, and the rhythms, which are energy. These are known as the herdsman, the animal, and the reins, respectively. Since nothing is independent of life rhythms that link body and soul, the herdsman, the animal, and the reins are inseparable. The reins of Prajapati are regulatory forces that may well be the superstrings throughout the unified field of immense being. They are the rhythms of life. Ganapati, or Ganesh, is also a trimurtic deity who is perceived as the remover of obstacles. He may be what allows Prajapati to go forth and multiply in triads and rhythms of the universe. Ganapati is the lord of categories who brings the relation between the different orders of all things. As lord of the macrocosm and microcosm, he is symbolized by the head of an elephant and the body of a man. Thus, Ganapati is the remover of obstacles between categories in the macrocosm and the microcosm, which allows us to see transcending patterns and fractals. Everything is in anything. The sacred formula of Ganapati is Tatvam Asi, which means thou art that. Every living being is a reflection of the supreme essence. The mantra or sound image of Ganapati is Om, the eternal symbol, syllable by which all is pervasive. In an interconnected universe, lords work together. Prajapati multiplies aspects from the divine Trinity, and his reins give them rhythm. Ganapati is the interconnecting force through the categories that make them one with everything. Hence, the grace and the being of the divine Trinity comes through all things, and the fractal prisms of energy Gravel. So when we look at the descriptions that we see in religions around the world, different cultures, different languages, and different times, we find that Joseph Campbell was so right in telling us that we are retelling the same story. He claimed there is only one myth told in many languages, where they ask the players are given many names. And in the conflict between monotheology and polytheology, that is often resolved with the notion that the many gods are various aspects of the one. From the one comes two, from the two comes three, from the three come many. And the myriad of things. Simplicity breeds complexity, and through it all, we are all interconnected to each other and through time with rhythm. This is David Katzmar, your host, signing out for tonight. Thank you for listening to a reading from Kalarhythms. You can find out about this and more by going to kalarhythms.org. That's kalarhythms.org. May you cycle well into the future. Good night.